Philharmonisch Orkest en Osmo Venske 2 jaar geleden, 21 mei 2016, in de NTR Zaterdagmatinée. Het begin van Sibelius' vierde symfonie. Thank you. Tot zover het begin van deze vierde symfonie van Jean Sibelius door het Radio Philharmonisch Orkest onder leiding van Osmo Wenske, 21 mei 2016 in de NTR Zaterdagmatinée. Het is nu 5:07.
NPO Radio 4. NTR. Matinee Café met Hans Hafmans.
En in het Matinee Café te gast Sebastian Fagerlund, de componist die we als eerste vanmiddag hoorden in zijn nieuwe werk Wateratlas, opdrachtwerk van het Koninklijk Concertgebouw voor de NTR Zaterdagmatinee en het Radio Philharmonisch Orkest, ontstaan mede dankzij Composer in Residence tijd in het Concertgebouw. Met dat Composer in Residence project geeft het Concertgebouw componisten van internationale allure de kans voor langere tijd in Amsterdam te verblijven om muziek te componeren, geïnspireerd door de hoofdstad. Sebastian Fagerlund, welcome back to Amsterdam. We met a couple of years ago when you were Composer in Residence here at the Concertgebouw.
Thank you.
Wateratlas, it must have a connection with the city of so many canals and 1,000 bridges.
Yeah, I could say it was the starting point. The initial starting point, because of course this piece is commissioned by Concertgebouw on the Zaterdag Matinee, and of course it's, as I have pointed out earlier, it's not the description in any way of a city, but water has acted as a abstract inspiration, I would say, on this piece, and I think the people who listen to it can also feel that you have this multi-layer music where slow currents are moving and fast ones are moving and interacting with each other.
And on Dam Square, when you look at the Royal Palace, you see the Atlas bearing the globe and almost dying of it. So the weight of the piece has also something to do with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. There are really huge, massive orchestral sounds. That's one part of the let's say, the Atlas idea. Then the other one is, of course, that this piece is the third one in a row of pieces. So this actually forms the final part of a trilogy, orchestral trilogy. So I feel really happy that this piece now has had its world premiere here and with such a fantastic orchestra at the Radio Philharmonic.
Het is een waterstuk, de Wateratlas van Sebastian Fagerlund, maar hij zegt niet dat het een letterlijke programmamuziek is. Het is een abstract werk. Aan de ene kant dat water van de stad, zeker heeft me dat geïnspireerd. Aan de andere kant het gewicht van Atlas, die dus de aardbol draagt. En zoals we dat kunnen zien bovenop het Paleis op de Dam in Amsterdam, is dat ook uitgebeeld in de stad. Hij is ontzettend blij, Sebastian Fagerlund, met de prachtige uitvoering door het Radio Philharmonisch Orkest en deze wereldpremière in het Concertgebouw. Well, let's pick up our last encounter here at the table. That was after Ignite, yes, which is by now an older piece, written in 2010.
Yeah.
And it went in 2016 during the same concert with Jean Sibelius' Fourth Symphony.
Exactly.
Did I hear traces of Sibelius 7 today?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Perhaps in that really small perspective, that in a way I think Sibelius' way of dealing with organic growth, continuous growth, that's something which I feel is very present in my music as well. So from that perspective, yes, but not in a quotation manner, could I say.
Het idee van organische groei, zoals dat bij Jean Sibelius zoveel voorkomt, dat heb ik ook in mijn muziek. Dat wil ik inderdaad nastreven. Wat dat betreft is hij mijn voorbeeld. Maar letterlijke citaten, nee, die heb ik niet gebruikt in Wateratlas vandaag. Dit is het slot van Ignite van Sebastian Fagerlund, zoals het klonk 2 jaar geleden onder leiding van Osmo Wenske, het Radio Philharmonisch Orkest. Het slot van het stuk.
Thank you. Het explosieve slot van Ignite van Sebastian Fagerlund door het Radio Philharmonisch Orkest onder leiding van Osmo Venske 2 jaar geleden. You love the orchestra, don't you?
Yeah, I can honestly say I do. it's such a formidable instrument in itself, and I feel that you, in a way, as a composer, you have an absolute infinite collection of possibilities, sound-wise and material-wise, that you can do. So for me, it's the ultimate instrument.
So how do you add new colors by adding new and different and exotic instruments to the ensemble?
No, not necessarily. I think there is still a lot to be discovered. It's not a matter of finding new instruments to add to the orchestra. It's more about digging into the orchestra and see what you still can do. Because I think there's still a lot to be discovered.
But I didn't exactly hear a Beethoven symphony set up today in your
No, fair enough. No, that's true. That there's a large percussion section, and of course a full orchestra, really really large one. But still within the boundaries of what one could say is a standard symphony orchestra.
Do you consider yourself a Nordic composer?
Well, Nordic from that sense that I'm. I'm born in Finland and living in a Nordic country. From music perspective, perhaps it's a little bit difficult to define it yourself. What kind of geographical area you belong to? I mean, it's better that I leave that to musicologists.
Because the colors are bright, and the sun stands high. In a way, I mean, it's very colorful, isn't it?
No, but I'm happy if that's the conception or the feeling.
Does it influence you when the sun goes down a couple of months a year, and when it stands so high in the summer? Does that influence your feeling, your energy level? Do you compose best during the summertime or in wintertime, or doesn't it make any difference?
On the compositional work, I really can't say that it would make such a big difference. But of course, as a person who lives really, really in the north and experiences that change every year, of course, on a personal level, I think it affects everybody who lives there. Because I mean, the lack of sunlight during the darkest months, and then of course the constant sunlight, more or less constant sunlight in the summertime. That's something very special. So, yeah.
Voor mij is het orkest nog steeds een bron van inspiratie. Inderdaad heb je iets anders gehoord dan een Beethoven-symfonie vanmiddag. Ik heb heel veel slagwerk aan toegevoegd. Dat geeft mij nieuwe kleuren en mogelijkheden en kansen, zegt Sebastian Fagerlund. Ander punt, voel je een noordelijke componist? Nou, dat is waarschijnlijk aan anderen om dat te zeggen en te omschrijven. Dat is iets voor muzikologen. Tuurlijk beïnvloedt het ons enorm als het in de winter zo lang donker is en dat het nu weer licht gaat worden. Maar of je dat in mijn muziek kunt horen, ik weet het niet. Well, but nature is an important source of inspiration, being water in the atlas and stonework, the opening of the cycle.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yeah, this was actually not my intention, but then at some point working with stonework, the first piece in this orchestra trilogy, I realized that I'm now slowly working towards a construct where the first orchestra piece actually describes huge stone structures that we find in nature, both man-made and natural ones, and then the second orchestra piece, Drifts, which followed it in a way takes a new look at formation formed by sun or wind and how that affects nature. And of course now Water Atlas, we are talking about a different element again, and I must say it's quite overwhelming actually to be at this point now when this trilogy is finished and has started to live its own life.
Water Atlas, over water, Drifts, gaat over wind en over sneeuw. En het eerste deel, Stonework, inderdaad over misschien wel door de mens gemaakt steen of dat wat je in de natuur kunt vinden. Dus de natuur is een grote bron van inspiratie voor Sebastian Fagerlund. Dit is het Fins Radio Symfonieorkest onder leiding van Hannu Lintu met een fragment uit Stonework. Dus het begin, eerste deel, uit het drieluik dat nu eindelijk voltooid is, na deze wereldpremière van vanmiddag, gecomponeerd door de Finn Fagerlund. Stonework, de opening. Het begin van het drieluik dat vanmiddag voltooid werd met Wateratlas. En het tweede deel is Drifts. Fins Radio Symfonieorkest onder leiding van Hannu Lintu. Muziek van de Fin Sebastian Fagerlund. Composer in residence geweest bij het Concertgebouw in Amsterdam. So what has it brought you as a composer, having been a composer in residence at the Concertgebouw?
Well, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is it has brought me new music. Both my second string quartet was commissioned by Concertgebouw and then as well as this most recent orchestra work, Wateratlas. And apart from that, I must say, it has been really inspiring to work here. And I find this city fascinating in that way that it's in a way, it's a large city, but in a small format. And I've really, really enjoyed working here and getting to know people. And of course, there's a fair amount of networking also involved in this kind of residency. So there's a lot of new contacts have emerged that then spar further on in the future with new works and so on. So this has been a wonderful and is a wonderful platform.
Het tweede strijkkwartet is hier ontstaan, schrijft hij, Sebastian Vagelund. En Wateratlas, dat zijn de twee opdrachten die hij gekregen heeft van het concertgebouw. De stad is inspiratiebron geweest. Het opvallende van deze stad Amsterdam, zegt hij, het is een grote stad, maar dan in klein formaat. En ik heb natuurlijk een netwerk hier kunnen opbouwen, dus heb ik heel veel aan gehad. So what's next for you?
Well,
what are you working on?
Well, right now I'm working on a cello concerto, actually. And it's commissioned by the Elbphilharmonie.
In Hamburg,
yes, and the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra. And I'm composing it for this wonderful cellist, Nikolaus Altstedt, who actually has performed here a lot, I think.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, yeah.
And the funny thing is that we met at the festival several years ago, but then during my residency here, we met in the artist cafeteria and had coffee, and one thing led to another, and we started talking about... Well, actually, a little bit later on, he called me and said that he has been thinking about this for a long time, and would it be possible to start collaborating on a new concerto? And that road I'm right now.
When will it be premiered?
The premiere is in spring 2019 in Hamburg. In
so
Germany.
Time is on your side.
Oh well, everything is relative. So I would say that the concerto needs to be finished at the end of autumn. To give enough time for the soloists to get acquainted with the part and so on. So there's not too much time.
In de artiestenfoyer hier beneden hebben ze elkaar ontmoet. Nikolaus Altstedt en componist Sebastian Vagelund en cellist Altstedt vroeg hem om een celloconcert. En het een leidde tot het ander. Opdracht van de Elbphilharmonie, ook samen met het Fins Radio Symfonieorkest. Daar is hij nu mee bezig, celloconcert. En dat gaat volgend jaar in première, maar het zal zeker in de herfst klaar moeten zijn. So, solo concerto is also close to your heart, because we round off now with your bassoon concerto.
Yes.
With Bram van Sandbeek. Mm-hmm. So, you love that as well.
No, well, I think it's a very important part of the repertoire. And then at the same time, it gives a new dimension to the orchestra format. You have the symphony orchestra there, but you also have a soloist, and this creates a lot of interesting possibilities of the individual versus the big mass and what it can be. Could it be a very chamber music approach and so on? And a good example is this bassoon concerto Mana that I wrote for Bram, and it became a fantastic record, and I was very happy to realize that it was then. Actually, just a month ago, I think it received this BBC Music
Award.
Magazine Award.
Absolutely, yes.
And well deserved for Bram, I must say, because he's an incredible musician.
Well, at least you did something Carl Nielsen could not do after his flute and his clarinet concerto. He wrote, his intentions were to write for the Copenhagen Quintet, and he was not able to finish a bassoon concerto. So thank you for doing that.
Well, I think I have to thank Bram also, because he really... His playing really opened up that instrument for me. I didn't know it that well before that. His way of just dealing with the whole register, it became kind of a new instrument for me almost.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for your wonderful new piece.
No, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. So.
And do come back to Amsterdam.
Definitely.
To this cosmopolitan village. Sebastian Vagelund, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hij werkt aan dat celloconcert nu, maar dit is het fagotconcert dat hij geschreven heeft voor Bram van Sandbeek, het Lahti Symfonieorkest onder leiding van Okko Kamu. En deze is in de prijzen gevallen, deze CD, BBC Magazine Award voor de solist die we nu horen, Bram van Sandbeek.
Thank you.
uit het fagotconcert van Sebastian Fagerlund, getiteld Mana. Fagotist Bram van Sandbeek en het Lahti Symfonieorkest uit Finland onder leiding van Okko Kamu. Het is precies 5:00. Dit is het matinécafé vanuit het Concertgebouw in Amsterdam. Hij was dus composer in residence in het Concertgebouw in het seizoen 2015-16. Sebastian Fagerlund. En zij gaat het worden in het seizoen 18-19. Tansy Davis, a warm welcome at the Concertgebouw.
Thank you very much.
You're looking forward to your residency here in Amsterdam?
I am indeed, yes. Very exciting prospect.
This is from one of your recent CDs, True Bayreuths?
Yes.
Which stands for?
Yes, so it's the word for the female troubadours from Occitan and other places in France. And in fact, I made the CD in 2010, so it's not recent, but it's something I'm very proud of, a mix of different kinds of things, some vocal music and some chamber music.
Grind show.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What is it?
Well, it has many kind of influences, this one. Partly inspired by Goya's Pilgrimage to St. Isidora painting, the one which is the darker of the two, because there were two he did of the same, with roughly the same title, I think. And this is quite a frightening painting, but in some ways I find quite ambiguous. What you see is a large landscape and figures walking, running, moving towards the viewer's perspective, as if they're fleeing a situation. We're not quite sure what, but obviously there was a civil war in the background and things like that, so it's quite a frightening atmosphere. But in the front there's musicians singing with the guitar, and it looks like singing sort of songs of great pain, actually. But I had an idea of you know, maybe trying to depict what that music could be, and I tried to get that into that piece. So that was sort of to do with the kind of backdrop of the piece, which you'll hear in the electronics, which is sort of sounds of rain falling, dark night, that kind of thing. And I like the idea that within this sort of the darkness, there's still an urge to make merriment, make music, to party, as it were. And the other, so the aspect of where the title came in was to do with, I suppose, the idea of an organ, and a grinding organ going round and round and round. So those two things made their way into my head when I wrote the piece.
Zegt Tansy Davis over haar niet zo recente CD 2010, True Bayreuths, een vrouwelijke troubadour. Heeft te maken met een van de twee Goya-schilderijen, pelgrimageschilderij. Eén is licht, ander is donker. Je ziet mensen die ontvluchten de scène. Je weet niet waar vandaan ze vluchten. Maar op de voorgrond van het schilderij zie je dat mensen muziek maken. Die hoor je in de elektronica langskomen. Maar de titel Grind Show, dat is weer een verwijzing naar een lekker draaiorgeltje dat maar draait en draait en draait. Dit komt van die CD. Dit is het stuk Grind Show van haar, Tansy Davis. Trekpunt was een schilderij van Goya over vluchtende pelgrims en muziek toch op de voorgrond. The point of departure is a painting, but this is not in the classical sense program music. It's not depicting anything, is it?
No, it's imagining what might be going on somewhere in the distance, because it's a very wide angle view, as it were. It's a big landscape we're looking at, but within that there are sort of houses with dimly lit windows, and there's this, for me, ambiguous quality about it. Are people having a good time? Are they having a bad time? We don't really know, but there's definitely merriment as well with musical instruments.
Are you visualizing it when you compose it? Do you see things when you hear things?
I definitely do that, yes. I think in terms of a kind of a spatial musicality. So it might not be a specific thing, although sometimes I might like for this piece with the element of an organ grinder, try and sort of bring in something of that character. But more than that, more often than that, it's about trying to make an architectural musical space where the audience can be part of, sit in it.
Het is opvallend dat Tansy Davis weer begint over het schilderij en over wat er allemaal gebeurt en over huizen niet verlicht dan wel verlicht, over de scènes die ze ziet. Ziet ze als ze luistert, als ze hoort? Jazeker, maar ik denk eigenlijk veel meer in ruimte. Ik denk eigenlijk in de zin van architectuur die ik aan het componeren ben. And this is a sort of ensemble that I've not heard before. It is...
Yeah, this particular line-up is it's flute, clarinet. Actually, it's quite traditional. Flute, clarinet, piano, violin, cello. With electronics.
So that does the trick.
Yeah, that does the trick. Yeah, and the piano is prepared.
Aha. Geprepareerde piano, een klassiek ensemble, klein kamermuziekensemble en de elektronica plus het voorbereiden van die piano, dat prepareren, dat doet het werk. You are here for orchestral pieces, aren't you? By the commissioned by the Concertgebouw, isn't that right? You'll write an orchestral piece.
I'm actually commissioned by the Asger Schoenberg, Concertgebouw, to write for the Asger Schoenberg. Uh-huh. So a smaller scale, and for the small hall here, that's what I'll be doing.
So the famous Schoenberg setup, the Kammersymphonie,
exactly. Something like that. I think I'm still in discussion with the ensemble about exactly what, but I think it would be about 9 or 10 players, which is quite interesting because I think it's going back to my roots, which are something like the music we just heard, chamber music, and a little bit larger, whereas in recent years I've been writing big things, operas and symphony orchestra pieces. It's very, very nice to focus again, we get the chance to focus again on chamber music with such an incredible group who actually played my piece Neon in London about 4 years ago. So it's nice to sort of meet up with them again.
Asger Schoenberg heeft al in Londen werk voor mij gespeeld, een paar jaar geleden, zegt Tansy Davis. En de opdracht van het Concertgebouw, van mijn residentie, die eraan staat te komen, is een opdracht ook voor Asger Schoenberg, een kamerensemble waar ik me ongelooflijk in thuis voel. Het zal zo'n man of 9 à 10 zijn. 9 à 10.
heb me de afgelopen jaren veel bezig gehouden met grote orkestwerken, symfonieorkesten en met opera. Speaking of, Between Worlds. That's,
yes.
Is that the only opera you've written, or is it in a series of operas? Or?
It's my first opera, but I've just written the second one. Literally, you know, the ink is still wet. So
we're before the premiere of that second opera.
We are.
And when will it be premiered?
It will be premiered on 20th of June in London, in the Printworks, which is a sort of industrial venue. It's very unusual for opera to go.
Is it a large scale opera? Is it chamber?
It's actually chamber. So it's called Cave. There are two singers, Mark Padmore and Elaine Michener, who is an improviser, and six players and electronics.
De tweede opera heeft ze net voltooid. Die heet Cave en die gaat in juni in Printworks. Dat is een industrieel gebied in Londen. Helemaal niet zo geschikt voor opera, maar juist daarom heel interessant. Twee zangers, waaronder eentje Mark Padmore en de andere is een improvisatiezangeres. And this is an intermezzo, an orchestral piece. It's a ballet from your opera Between Worlds, English National Opera, onder leiding van Jerry Cornelius. Anything we need to know before we listen?
I don't think so. It's a very sort of sad moment in the opera, and it was a moment which we felt that it's the only moment where there is no singing. It's quite short. It's only 3 minutes, something like that. But it's a moment that just had to be depicted with just music and dance. And in fact, it's an aerial ballet, and the piece is actually called Dance of Air and Wire for Earth.
Het is een dans, een ballet, een droef moment. Het enige moment waar er niet gezongen wordt in deze opera van Tansy Davis, Between Worlds.
Thank you.
ballet in de hoogte uit Between Worlds over de aanslagen in New York, gecomponeerd door Tansy Davis. Wonderful.
Gosh, thank you.
Het is 4:15. We gaan schakelen naar heel oude muziek uit Engeland. Tears van John Dowland, Caspar Kreuner, countertenor Arjen Verhagen, luid. Tansy Davis, we lack this bedrock of melancholy in the Netherlands. It must be fantastic to be a British composer and be able to go back in your mind and memory to this foundation of beauty.
That's a very interesting thought. I hadn't really thought of it like that as it being unique. But yes, I do obviously get, I'm very honoured to have that sort of history in the canon for the British music. And the British music which I love the most is the early music. And, that Dowland melody is it's just heavenly.
So does that, or has it triggered you?
I think there's something in me which responds very much to those early melodies and the harmonies and the voice leading technique where there's melodies winding around each other and unbearably beautiful clashes between the notes. And I think other contemporary composers as well have drawn on that. I think it's definitely in us, in some of us.
So when we listen now to Make Black White by you, played on viols, is that reference to your glorious past?
Funnily enough, Make Black White is almost like an alchemical idea, whereby I took this incredibly tearful melody, Flow My Tears, but I turned it from something inexorably sad into a dance. So it's slightly perverse in a way, but I made a labyrinth out of it. So you'll find that if you listen into it that the melody is heard in many different tempi all at once, and it's weaving around, burrowing down, flying up again. It's quite irreverent, really, but fun, I think. A strange transformation, really.
Zegt Tansy Davis over haar fantastische melancholieke basis die de Engelsen toch hebben. Ze zegt, ja, eigenlijk nooit zo gerealiseerd dat het tamelijk uniek is wat we hebben. Die droeven, ondraaglijk droeve melodieën van John Dowland. Als we nu luisteren naar Make Black White, is het eigenlijk dat ik een soort alchemist ben. Want ik heb alles omgedraaid en muziek in allerlei tempi laten afspelen die bij John Dowland vandaan komen. Luister naar het ensemble Concordia, nieuwe muziek van Tansy Davis met een gevoel van een ouderdom van honderden jaren.
Thank you.
En misschien was het wel heel oneerbiedig van me, zei Tansy Davis, dat ik die oude, droevige melodie van John Dowland heb omgedraaid als een alchemist richting een dans. Dit was Make Black White van Tansy Davis door het gamba-ensemble Concordia. De aanstaande composer in residence van het Concertgebouw gaat schrijven voor Asko Schoenberg. We sluiten af met muziek die gespeeld is door Asko Schoenberg in Londen. Neon van Tansy Davis door het Azalea-ensemble. Are you looking forward to your stay in Amsterdam? When will you start with your residency here?
So I think my residency will begin probably early November, October, I mean, sorry. So I should be here for 3 months in the winter. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
What are you expecting from the city, from the sounds, the cityscape, the air, the atmosphere?
Well, it's going to be an adventure for sure. I don't really know what to expect, and that's what attracts me to it. I've not lived in a city centre for many years. I live outside of London. So it's going to be, I think, thrilling and perhaps challenging as well, because I quite like my own space. And I, as a composer, you know, you have to get some work done, and that normally, for me, means peace and quiet. But at the same time, I think it's going to be a real injection of energy, which will definitely be inspiring for my work, I'm sure.
Ik heb tijdenlang niet in het centrum van een stad gewoond, want ik woon eigenlijk buiten het centrum van Londen. En als ik hier naar Amsterdam kom vanaf november als componist in residentie bij het Concertgebouw, dan zal het voor mij een avontuur zijn, een nieuw zijn. Het zal me zeker een injectie van energie geven, maar het zal ook wennen zijn, zegt Tansy Davis. We are looking forward to your stay and hopefully it will be a very inspiring stay for you as a composer, as an artist.
Thank you very much. I look forward very much to being here.
Tansy Davis, thank you so much. Dit is Neon van haar door het Azalea Ensemble onder leiding van Christopher Austin. Asko Schoenberg speelde het al een paar jaar geleden in Londen. En Asko Schoenberg gaat haar nieuwe werk ook spelen in opdracht van het Concertgebouw. Gaat dat ontstaan door Tansy Davis. Oude muziek volgende week in de NTR Zaterdag Matinee. Een feestkantate van Antonio Caldara door La Cetra, geleid door Andrea Marcon. En zometeen podium op zaterdag met Wouter Plezier. Ik wens u een mooie avond toe.
NTR brengt cultuur. Speciaal voor iedereen.